Welcome to the Dream Job System, the only podcast that provides proven, tangible strategies to help you land a job you love without traditional experience and without applying online. Get ready to level up your job search with your host, Austin Belsack.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dream Job System podcast. I'm your host, Austin Belsack, and in this episode, I'm going to talk to you about how you should allocate your time in the job search if you want to be effective in 2022. Now, I decided to record this episode for two big reasons. The first was because people read my tagline, getting jobs without applying online, and they come to me with all these questions about whether they should never, ever, ever apply to a job online again, or if they should, when should that be? And they just go so deep on that one specific core component of our strategy. But I think that's fair because that's what most people are used to doing. So if I tell you to do the complete opposite, it's hard to let go of something that seems familiar that everybody's telling you to do. So I want to talk to you about how that fits into the overarching strategy of being effective in the job hunt in today's market. The second reason I wanted to record this episode is to answer another very common question that I get from people, which is how to know what to double down on. If you're job searching and you're seeking advice from the internet, you know, scrolling your LinkedIn feed, looking at blog posts, all these other things, you are going to get tons and tons of advice. There is so much noise out there. And that makes it really hard to know what you should be truly investing in, what you should be doubling down on in order to get the best ROI. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through the six major buckets that you should be investing your time in, at least up to the point of generating interviews. And then we're going to assign a percentage to them, which is going to be the amount of time you should allocate on a proportional basis to each of these different buckets. And then finally, we'll talk through those allocations so you can understand why the percents are what they are and so that you can create your own strategy here. So let's get started. The six buckets that I believe you should invest your time in when it comes to being an effective job seeker in 2022 are the following. First, optimizing your resume. Second, submitting online applications. Third, researching your target companies. Fourth, upskilling in public. Fifth, creating new connections. And sixth, cultivating existing relationships. So those are the six buckets, but the amount of time that we invest in each is going to be very, very different. And the way that I like to look at this is I want to allocate time into a channel based on the potential ROI that I can get back from that channel. So if you look at the percent allocations that I'm going to share with you, they are based on the ROI that we can expect to see from that specific channel. So here is how I recommend allocating your time in the job search in today's market. First, when it comes to optimizing your resume, you want to spend 5% of your time doing that. Then, when it comes to submitting online applications, you also want to spend 5% of your time doing that. In the next bucket, researching target companies, you want to spend about 10% of your time doing that. Next, you want to spend about 15% of your time upskilling in public. After that, you want to spend about 30% of your time creating new connections. And after that, you want to spend about 35% of your time cultivating your existing relationships, which is going to be growing the relationships both with the people who are already in your network, as well as the new people that you are adding from the previous step that I just mentioned. So let's break all of these things down a little bit, starting with the online application piece. So I mentioned 5% on optimizing your resume and 5% on submitting online applications. So that equates to roughly 10% of your job search time. So how did I come up with this figure? Well, essentially what I did was I looked at our potential return on the investment of submitting online applications versus all the other things on this list. And what the data tells us, both the data that we see across the industry and also my personal data that we have on all of the clients and audience members who come through Cultivated Culture, is that submitting online applications has the lowest return on investment. However, something that I will never, ever recommend that you do is completely block out one of the major job search channels. And for me, the major job search channels are applying for jobs online, they're leveraging recruiters to get in the door with companies, and they are networking with folks at companies to try and get a referral. I would always recommend that everybody allocate at least a little bit of time to each of those channels because we don't want to put our heads on the pillow at night thinking, well, if I had just submitted that application, or if I had just sent that cold email, or if I had just done that one extra thing, I might have gotten the yes instead of being rejected. But we also know that online applications give us one of the lowest returns on our investment when it comes to landing interviews and landing offers. So what I'm trying to do here is come up with a percentage that is actually realistic, but is also proportional to the other things that we could be investing our time in. If I told you to only invest 2% of your time on optimizing your resume and submitting online applications, it's really hard to come up with an actual number for that. Like 2% of your time job searching is going to probably be, you know, an hour, maybe even less than an hour a month or something like that, which is hard to build a system around. So by putting it at 10%, I'm encouraging you to get out there and actively invest in this specific channel, but not overinvest in it, not invest in it to the point where it is taking away from other channels that might lead to a greater ROI. So that's where that's coming from. Next, we have 10% of your time researching target companies. So what I recommend to everybody who comes through our community is that they pick 15 companies to target. And the reason that I do that is because the job search is still a numbers game, even when you go through it with my system. No matter what system you're using, there is going to be a component of numbers game associated with everything that you're doing. But we also know that diving deep allows us to better position ourselves as the most valuable candidate in this process. So what I found through a lot of testing and a lot of years of experience is that 15 companies tends to be the sweet spot where we give ourselves enough of a scope. The scope is broad enough where we increase our surface area for success, but the scope is also narrow enough where we can go deep on these companies. We can really learn everything about them, and then we can align our value to that. And that is what's going to set you apart. So the 10% of your job search time is really going to be spent researching these companies and trying to understand their goals right now, the challenges they're facing, the initiatives that they're rolling out, their game plan and vision for the next 6, 12, 18 months. Because when we do that and we can speak directly to those things, it's so much easier to position ourselves as the best candidate because we can show up and say, hey, I know you have this goal. Here's how I can help you achieve it. Or I know this is a challenge for you. Have you thought about X, Y, and Z ways of solving it? And oh, by the way, I've done that in my past. These are things that other job seekers aren't doing. Other job seekers are showing up. They're simply regurgitating their past experience, and they're hoping that the employer can connect the dots between that past experience and their own needs. When you show up and say, I know what your needs are, I've done the research, let me illustrate that to you, and then let me show you how I can help, you put yourself in a totally different ballpark than everybody else. And that is really what's going to help you stand out. So that's why this is the next highest allocation on this list. After that, we have upskilling in public. So what does this really mean? Well, upskilling in public is essentially where you take the value that you have either created in the past or are continuing to create on an ongoing basis, and you share it in a public fashion. So a couple of examples of this might be if you had a really, really awesome project that isn't really getting recognized on your resume, you could go write out a whole case study about that project and put it on a personal website. You could even put it in the featured section of your LinkedIn profile. Heck, you can even write a long form LinkedIn article about it that you feature on your profile. All of these things allow you to own the message, allow you to own your value. So this project isn't just one bullet on your resume. All of a sudden, it is this long form case study that's going to allow people to see your process in depth, how you hypothesize, how you think about coming up with solutions, how you overcome obstacles as you work to build out those solutions, and then eventually the solution itself. In addition to that, if you're looking to change industries, or if you're looking to make a jump from, let's say, IC to a manager level, if you're looking to basically make a jump into an area where you don't have the traditional experience, one of the best ways to convince people that you are able to do the job is to create your own experience or to create that proof yourself. Because if we rely on those traditional methods, right, if we rely on a resume and a cover letter and, you know, some questions on an online application or any of these other more traditional credentials that people look at, it's going to be really hard to make that leap because the question of not having enough traditional experience, not having enough time invested in this in the past, that's going to keep coming back to bite you. So the best way to combat that, and honestly, the best way to just generate more visibility for yourself as a candidate is to start creating in public. So this could be posting on LinkedIn, and it could be posting about knowledge that you already have, or it could be posting about knowledge that you are learning right now, skills that you are building. It could be posting case studies about projects and experience you have already created that has happened in the past, or it could be going out and saying, hey, I want to break into this new field. Here's a target company. Let me audit their business. Let me look at their competitors. Let me come up with some solutions, and then let me share those things in public. When you share in public, you own the message. And in addition to that, you create create more visibility. I was just talking to a client of mine about this. Her network on LinkedIn, she has about 2,000 connections, and I encouraged her to post every day for a month. When we looked at the average views for a post, they were about 66% of her network. So she was reaching more than her 2,000 connections with every two posts. And if she was posting every weekday for a single month, she had the chance to reach 10, 20x her network just by posting. And she was doing that so efficiently, right? Because think about how long would it take for us to reach out to each of those people one-to-one, whereas now we're getting that same message across and we may be even getting more valuable info across. We may be getting further down the funnel just by creating this post. So it's a one-to-many approach. And that's why I recommend that you spend around 15% of your time doing this. Next, we move into what is basically the core component of my job search system, and that is building and cultivating relationships with the hope of converting them into referrals. So this is going to make up about 65% of your job search time. 30% of that is going to be focused on new connections. So what we're going to be doing here is building a list of contacts at those target companies. Earlier, I mentioned having 15 target companies that you're focused on. Well, I want you to go out and find at least 10 contacts at each of those companies, and then you're going to start reaching out to them. Maybe you hit up 2, 3, 4, 5 of those people every single weekday. So you're churning out 25 new connections every single week. That's what you're going to be focusing the 30% on, because this is how we build our network with specific people who can influence our ability to get hired. And then at the very top of the list, we have cultivating those existing relationships at 35%. And frankly, this is where a lot of people tend to fall off. A lot of people think of networking as going out there and building new connections. And a new connection for them, a relationship, tends to consist of a 30-minute Zoom call or coffee with the person. But then we think, well, what do I do next? What do I say next? How do I keep this going? And that's the key, right? We need to keep the relationship going for more than just one Zoom call or coffee if we want to convert this person into an advocate who is going to vouch for us. So that's why I recommend that you spend the vast majority of your job search time on cultivating existing relationships. This is where we're going to invest the most time, because relationships are built in small, steady layers where you're adding value to the other person. You're staying top of mind. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be connecting with this person every single day or multiple times a week. It really could be every other week. It could be every 2 weeks. That's totally fine. But the important thing is that we are keeping it consistent and we have a plan and a process for this. So for me, what I like to do here was make a list of all the people who I am currently building relationships with. And then I would see how many of those people I would need to reach out to every single day in order to cycle through the list every 2 weeks, because that's what I found to be kind of the optimum touch point or the optimum cadence, if you will. So I would sit there and build out a list of, let's say, 30 people. And I would know that if I reached out to roughly 2 people a day, I would get through that list in about 2 weeks. And that was right on target for me. So you can adjust these numbers however you want. I typically find that reaching out and connecting with people every 10 days to 2 weeks is the best cadence for relationship building in an optimized fashion. But if you find that to be different for yourself, that's totally fine. You can adjust these numbers. But as you can see, this is where we need to spend the bulk of our time, because it's not just touching base with the person, it's touching base in a way where we're still adding value and we're still showing this person we know them and that we're excited about this relationship. And that requires some additional research. That requires us to think back on our last conversation, to think about the potential angles or openings that they gave us. Did they mention something about a passion project? Did they mention an event coming up? Did they talk about a book they want to read? Did they share their favorite type of food and they're traveling to a place where you could make some recommendations? Like, any of these things are options for adding value to the relationship. And we need to think about this. And if we don't have any of those openings, we need to go do more research and come up with a new opening. We need to manufacture an opening so that we can keep the relationship going in a value add fashion. And that takes a lot of time, especially for people who are not used to it. And I actually think that this entire list is almost ordered in that fashion, from the lowest amount of time being spent on the things that people actively are used to and familiar with, all the way up to the things that people are least comfortable with. So that is another way to look at this as well. But truly, if you want to see success in the job search today, you need to understand what channels are driving the highest ROI for you. You also need to understand that completely excluding a channel, if it's one of those major job search channels, is not a good idea. So you want to include all of them, but then what you want to do is create a schedule where you allocate time in proportion to the ROI that you expect to see. So again, for me, that optimized schedule that we've seen work really well with our clients and personally is 5% optimizing your resume, 5% submitting online applications, 10% researching target companies, 15% upskilling in public, 30% creating new connections, and 35% cultivating those existing relationships and working to convert them into referrals. If you do that, you are going to see a ton more success in your job search. That's it for today. Thank you as always for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of the podcast.